I want you to read with me in Isaiah chapter 29. We're going to start in verse 9. And it says, "Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. He hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered." Now this is a bad situation. To know that what we need is the revelation from heaven, and we cannot get access to it because of a condition created by our own reaction or action toward it. The prominence or the preeminence or the value we put upon revelation just causes God to say, "There's no need me to talk to you." This is a big deal. So he says, "And the vision of all is become unto you as words of a book that is sealed." It means you read the Bible, but you're not getting anything out of it. You're wondering why you feel the way you do, and your flesh is dominating your life. "Which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I'm not learned. Therefore, the Lord saith." It's a bad condition we've got going on here. "Therefore, the Lord says, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but remove their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Now, he directly ties our inability to see into the spirit realm to a lack of honor. Can you see that? These are people that are coming to the synagogue and reading the covenant and going through the motions of church. But they've got their own ideas instead of a heartfelt connection to wanting to hear from heaven. They just come into church. And because they haven't made this adjustment in their heart, I want you to say this out loud. Honor is a heart thing. See, if honor's in your heart, it's going to come out in your life. But you can try to demonstrate honor in your life, and if it's not in your heart, it's not going to last very long. It's not going to come off right. And notice what he says honor is. He says, "With their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me for their fear toward me." So fear of the Lord and honor are the same thing. Reverent respect or fear for God and honor to God, that's one and the same. Amen? So you can't say, "I honor God by coming to church," and then just do it your way. Do it any old way you want to do it. See, that's the precept of men. Anytime we shift from the Word's way of doing it to the precepts of men, we have dishonored God. Now notice what it says. "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." Now, isn't it interesting that God is going to do a mighty work? That God wants to do great works? That God wants to do miraculous works? And the only people that are going to see that work are the people that honor Him. It's going to be hidden from everybody else. The only people that are going to experience that work are the people that fear Him. But He'll bypass everybody else because He's not going to do it in a carnal way. He's not going to do it in a way you understand. Getting over into the mighty works is not going to happen like you think it's going to happen. And if you choose to stay where we are in the precepts of men, it'll just shoot right past us. Now remember, before I go any further, I've got to get your mind wrapped around, your heart wrapped around why I'm teaching you this. He said, prepare your people for the miraculous. Prepare your people for the miraculous. Now turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Now notice what he says here in Mark 6 in Jesus' own ministry. He says in Mark 6, let's just start reading in verse 1. "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" We're talking about mighty works. Would you agree?
Yes.
Notice it says, they begin to reason. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended. Now, isn't that interesting? So evidently, to carry any offense around in your life, we're going to see is a lack of honor. One of the reasons God wants offense out of your life and heart is it will stop the mighty works, because honor is the only proper condition for them to manifest. I'm a little ahead of myself here, but this is very important for us to see. You can't just come in and treat church common and then glean the anointing that's in that service. And I realize that sometimes there's condemnation that comes when someone's exhorted to, hey, come on now, let's go. But you need to understand what I'm doing. I'm not getting on to you because you're doing something wrong in that sense. I'm trying to teach you that you are not who you think you are. You're not carnal. That body's a vehicle that brought you here. But you are not that body, and that body is not you. And you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your body may be tired, but that doesn't mean you are. You may have limited funds in your bank account, but that doesn't mean you're not rich.
Hallelujah.
And where this starts, where revelation starts to the place where you become more spirit conscious than body conscious, where it starts is at this place called honor. Because you're honoring spiritual things above natural things. Without an understanding of walking in honor, you're going to stay on the natural side. Because you won't value spiritual things. Because they won't be as real to you. Now notice what he says. They were offended, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house, and he could there do no mighty work. Save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Notice it didn't say he would not. There's a big difference between he would not and he could not. Amen?
Amen?
And if Jesus of Nazareth, the most anointed minister that ever walked the earth in certain atmospheres, could not manifest mighty works, and this is his ministry today, we don't have our own ministry, then how are we going to get into the mighty works? If it limited him, it's surely going to limit us. And what did he identify as the limiting factor? Well, let's read it. There's only one verse in red. What Jesus said about it's the issue. A prophet is not without honor except. So he's clearly identifying lack of honor as the reason he couldn't get miracles done. I mean, you cannot ignore this. That a lack of honor is the root cause for the miracles not manifesting. Now, he says, and he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled. Now he's going to show you the reason that lack of honor is so detrimental and dangerous. He marveled because of their what?
Unbelief.
What we need to get a firm grip on in our spirit is that lack of honor and unbelief are exactly the same thing. When there's a lack of honor, it is a manifestation of unbelief. How many of you know nothing's impossible to them that believe? So honor then must be the principal ingredient because it's the atmosphere that faith flourishes in. It is the anointing connector. When there's proper honor from your heart, I'm not talking about the precepts of men, lip service. I'm talking about proper honor from your heart. It is a manifestation that you believe. That you believe there's value there. See, honor is actually, you know, honor and glory are akin to one another. When you study the Bible, you'll find that honor and glory are very, very tied with a very short cord. It literally means that it's heavy. Glory is heavy, full of all the good, godly assets. Heavy, it's the rich treasuries of God is the glory. So when he crowned man, he crowned him with two things, glory and honor. And you don't get to the glory where the treasures of revelation are without the honor. Honor and glory go together. And the reason we know this is because the word honor, in the Greek especially, the root word for honor literally means to value, to set a price on something. So if you honor something highly, it has more value. If you honor something lightly, it has less value to you. Now this is the reason that honor is such a big deal. Because honor is your value system. And we're going to see something about how it affects lives, how lack of honor affects people. But we see clearly here that from Isaiah 29, we see very clearly that a lack of honor will cause revelation to be covered over. Because if one does not honor spiritual things and honor revelation knowledge above natural knowledge and above every other thing, they're not going to see over into what they need to see. So lack of honor will keep them in the situation they're in because they can't see how to get out of it. But this is why thanksgiving and praise is such a big deal. God calls for praise and worship so much because it is one of the principal factors that develops this honor system in us. Oh no, y'all totally missed that. I can see, I know you're writing, but it just went, phew. Praise and worship is one of the primary things God calls for continually. Why? Because one of its major purposes is to develop in us this system of honor. So that when we're going through a trial, And everything in us is telling us, you're going to lose it, you don't have it, it's not going to work, you're not going to make it. You look away from that and say, thank you, Lord. By His stripes I was healed. It doesn't matter what I see. Thank you, Lord. Now, what are you doing? There's no value. You're taking the doctor's report, which is a good report, the best they can, they're trying to help you. But then you're taking God's report and you're putting more value on it. It's a value system. Let me prove this to you in the Word. I think you'll like to see this. We can come back to Mark 6. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ, what? What now? Now notice the word esteem. Isn't that an interesting word? Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Greater riches. We're talking about a value system. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect. See that fear? That's the fear of the Lord. Respect literally means to look away from everything else to the one thing that is the most valuable thing in your life. He looked away from the treasures of Egypt, looked away from everything he had, looked away from the fact, and he had respect under the recompense of the reward. Honor is what brought Moses out of Egypt. If Moses had not had proper honor for who he was and the covenant and his assignment and what God had called him to do, he'd have lived right there and he'd have eaten that Egyptian food and he'd have never broken loose. But what broke Moses loose from his situation into his destiny was beginning to realize his destiny was more valuable than eating good every day. That the treasures of Egypt wasn't the issue. That wasn't who he was. Glory to God. You see this? And so once this value system got clear, now what's really interesting is what it says here in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt. That's what the word respect means. The word respect means, you know, honestly, this is why the Bible says the marriage covenant is honorable. You want to know why it says it's honorable? Because when you take those vows, part of your vow is not only a vow to commit, but it's a vow to forsake. You understand? Forsaking, and often it will say, forsaking all others, I cleave to you. In other words, I'm going to value this relationship more than any other relationship I have in my life anywhere. I'm going to treat it different. I'm going to respond to it different. When I go to work and I bring my paycheck home, I'm not going to walk down the street and pay somebody else's rent. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm talking about honor. See, we need to understand there is a forsaking and a cleaving. Now, this is what Moses did. Forsaking, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, isn't this an interesting statement? You can see something that's invisible. How could Moses see what was going to happen? It was invisible. Honor opened his eyes. Honor was what opened his eyes to be able to see the value of something nobody else could see. Glory to God, this is a big deal. This is why most people don't get the revelation they need to come out of the situation they're in, because they don't honor God's word above everybody else's voice. The day we honor God's word above everybody else's opinion and voice is the day that revelation is going to start unfolding to get us out of the mess we're in. Praise the Lord. What I want you to understand is that we see this through the word of God continually. I told this to the young ministers, and they latched on to it just like a little eaglet in a nest. And it was this idea, and I talked to them about two examples in the Old Testament. One was Eli, where Eli had no temperance in his life. And if you study the story, in fact, let's read this. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 2. Don't forget why I'm teaching you this. Prepare your people for the miraculous. See, I'm putting in you what's necessary for the miraculous to manifest. Yeah. You want miracles in your life? You want God to break you free? You want God to do all of His promises? Yeah. You want to see how to walk in the power of God? I'm giving you the keys. Yeah. If we don't develop this, we're not going to have an atmosphere for it to manifest. Glory, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let's just start reading in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli, sons of Belial, were sons of Belial because they knew not the Lord. And the priest custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, and while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or the kettle or cauldron or pot, and all the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. So in other words, they begin to violate the command of God about how they were supposed to receive and do. They abused their office for increase, to get what they needed for themselves. And if any man says to him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, then take as much as thy soul desireth. Then he would answer him, nay, but give it to me now, and if not, I'll take it by force. So they begin literally to abuse their priest's office and just take stuff from the people. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Now, here's something you're going to find if we can get this far in it today, that God has instituted several things, but two of the primary things he instituted in the body of Christ to develop in us this honor system is number one, praise and worship, and number two, offerings. One of the reasons we tithe, it is the number one manifestation of our honor. It's when we give God off the top and we don't give him the leftovers because we're honoring him as the Father. Now, what happens is when we do this, heaven opens. We start living under an open heaven. One man said it this way, after I learned this honor system, before I'd eat my tithe, I'd starve. See, once you learn the system, you begin to realize you're cutting your own throat when you step out of honor. Honor is, without question, access into the glory. Now, when you understand Malachi 3 about tithing, and it says, when you tithe all into the storehouse, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it. Notice an open heaven is where you can see revelation knowledge. Coming through an open heaven are heavenly ideas and concepts and insights. You can see what heaven sees and know what heaven knows about it. This is really the blessing that's poured out to you. And we've already proven that Isaiah 29 tells us with a lack of honor, we can honor with our lips, but if our heart's far from him, our eyes get covered over, a deep sleep comes on us, and we can't see. There's no open vision. So we're cutting ourselves off from access to revelation knowledge about how to get out of our situation when we don't honor the Word, because the Word is the thing that's going to bring us out. Oh, glory to God. So he says in 1 Samuel 2, verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, I'm just going to tell you, this is huge. Do you notice? He got a new coat every year when she came with an offering. Honor and the covering go hand in hand. One of the number one ways to break the covering of God over your life is a lack of honor. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan, which is linen to the Lord. And they went home to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now, this is amazing because she was barren before Samuel. But when she told the Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Samuel lived at the temple. He didn't live at home. She came to visit him. She gave him to God, and God opened her womb, and he gave her a bunch of other kids. His honor system works. So it says, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, how that they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said to them, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. And if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not to the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Now notice, Eli, as priest, did not correct his sons appropriately. He said, oh, don't do that, don't do that. You ought not be doing that. But he had authority in that office to stop it. But he cared about his sons more than he did about what was right. See, his value systems now is getting skewed. You see this? So it goes on to say, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto thee in the house of thy father when you were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest and to offer on my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by the fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. And honors, notice this, he honored his sons above the Lord. to make fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me I will lightly esteem. It says, and thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation. Verse 32, behold, the days will come, I will cut off your arm of your father's house. There won't be any old man in your house. You'll see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, there shall not be any old man in your house forever. He's saying, understand what the promise is. If you honor your father and mother, it will be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. This lack of honor starts costing him the increase of his prosperity. It starts costing him long life and health. Is it worth it? And he says in verse 33, and a man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of your house will die in the flower of their age. He lost his increase. He lost his eyesight. If you read the story, the reason Samuel was in the temple was to keep the fire burning because Eli went blind and that fire had to burn continually. And when the fire got dim, Eli couldn't see that it was dim, so he put Samuel there to stoke the fire. Now, what I'm trying to communicate to you is a lack of honor will cause you to go blind spiritually. This is a big deal. And if you have no access to see revelation knowledge, it will affect your health, it'll affect your increase, it'll affect everything about you. To lightly esteem God is to put yourself in a position to where you're under a broken covering, walking by the precepts of men. This is not where we want to be. And you can see why miracles weren't happening for the people. What's interesting about it is I told the young ministers that Samson, let me ask you this, Samson was anointed, called of God to judge Israel. Would you say he handled his anointing honorably? If you know the story of Samson, he did not. He disregarded all the instruction. He disregarded what he was told to do. His parents begged him, don't go over into the non-covenant camp and get a wife. But he honored Delilah above the anointing. What happened to him? Lost his strength, his eyes got put out. I can take you through the Word of God and show you a direct tie again and again and again with lack of honor and lack of revelation. You wonder why people can't see their way out of a situation to get free and to stay free? It's because whom the sun sets free is free indeed. And the only way you're going to know the truth is continue in the Word. And they take the Word of God and put it in the same kind of category as the Reader's Digest. And that's the truth. And here's what's sad. We really don't believe or know we're doing that. But the moment we begin to make decisions based upon our own thoughts instead of consulting the Word about it, we have dishonored God. We're preparing for the miraculous. Amen. Amen? Glory to God. Go back with me to the book of Proverbs. I say forward, I guess. We were in Samuel. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at two verses side by side. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 28. It says, in the multitude of people is the king's honor. Now that shows you right there that when honor's in the house, it releases heavenly increase. This church and this ministry is going to grow mightily. It's going to grow supernaturally. It's going to have a multitude of people attached to it. Why? Because we're all about honoring the king. When you develop a system of honor, you develop an expectation of increase. Now, come with me to Proverbs 15 and look at verse 33. This will really help you. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Verse 33. The fear of the Lord. The what?
The fear of the Lord.
Is the instruction of wisdom. Is wisdom not the principal thing? In Mark chapter 6, did it not say, where did Jesus get this wisdom that these mighty works are worked? See, when we get in the wisdom of God, it starts releasing something from heaven we can't get with our own precepts and ideas and thoughts. Wisdom is the access into everything, the treasuries of heaven. And wisdom, the very first thing wisdom teaches you is the fear of the Lord. And I've already proven to you, Isaiah 29 tells us, the fear of the Lord and respect unto God and honor are synonymous. No one can say, I fear God with no honor. You're not fearing God, respecting Him, if there's not honor in your heart. And he says here, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Did you know the scripture says, I believe it's Psalm 111 verse 10, but it tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That we haven't even begun to walk in wisdom until we learn this honor system. When you're a disciple, to develop in God, learning the honor system of the kingdom is class 101. It's a prerequisite to everything. You know when you take college courses and they'll have 101 and 102, 103, or however they number them, you got to have this class before you can take this class. See, understand that as disciples, you've got to have this class before you can go anywhere else in the kingdom. Because everything else in the kingdom works based on this system. It's the beginning of wisdom. So it doesn't even open up the rest of the wisdom till we deal with honor in our own heart and honor in our own life. That's why it's dishonorable to walk down the street and bypass a big old Subway bag all wadded up, you know, that's 5 feet from a trash can that nobody cared about. Listen, the other day we pulled up in a parking space and I didn't see it when I pulled in, and my wife gets out of the car and steps in something and realizes somebody has just finished eating some McDonald's or some drink or something and just wadded it up and threw that out there and put their cup out there on the ground. I mean, I think one of the reasons I despise stepping in gum, besides the fact that it's dirty and nasty and you got to scrape it off your shoe, is the fact that somebody didn't care enough about somebody else to walk 10 feet to a trash can.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it just, the older you get and the higher you get in this system, the more it grates you when people say things flippantly and have no honor. Because you realize that's so far beneath the kingdom. Honor is the way to live. And notice he says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor, everybody say honor.
Honor.
Before honor is what? All right, now we have tied honor to a number of things, but the truth of the matter is, let me connect the dots for you. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. What I want you to understand from the scripture is that there is a direct, not indirect, not several things down line, a direct link between honor and faith and unbelief and humility and pride. Dishonor is pride and unbelief in manifestation. Honor is faith and humility in manifestation. Before honor is humility. Did you hear what I said? Before honor is humility. Did you know that the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, the soul that is lifted up within himself is not upright in himself, but the just shall live by his faith. One of the reasons that God has chosen to ask us and to demand that we live by faith and not by sight is so that, number one, it will always maintain humility in our life. See, faith demands you be humble. Because if I can do it, I don't have to believe for it. And if I have to believe for it, I'm going to a higher power. I'm saying I can't do it. I've got to have grace to help me to do it. I have to believe for it. I can't do it. I have to believe for it. It'll always keep humility right at the forefront. Faith and humility are number one. They're tied very close. So to be disobedient or to be unbeliever is actually pride. Because you think you got a better way than God. You're not esteeming the word of the Lord as first place. You have other information that might help you get over more than God's promise. We need to understand that disobedience and unbelief is a dishonor. And dishonor will cause you to stumble. So now where are you? 1 Peter 5?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're going to bring this up. I want to say it's verse 6. Because it says in the King James, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Now notice, before honor is humility. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. The New Living Translation says that he may lift you up in honor. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, if we humble ourselves before Almighty God, he will. If we honor him, he will honor us. We won't have to honor ourselves. He will honor us. He will lift us up in honor. Do you remember in 1 Peter 2 where he talks about that the stone that the builders rejected has become head of the corner? And he talks about he became for those that did not believe. It says in 1 Peter 2, unto you who believe, he is precious. And in your Bible, 1 Peter 2, you'll find by the word precious will be a number which has a center column reference, which means the Greek word means to you who believe, he is an honor. The word precious means most valuable thing to you. He's an honor. You honor him. See the value system? He's precious. He's precious. He's the most precious thing you have. He's the highest value in your life. You that believe on him shall not be confounded. The word confounded is confused. Now, can you see the link between believing, between honor, faith, and not being confused, being able to see what to do? Can you see the link? Now look at verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is, and if you had your Bible open, you'd underline that word precious right in there, and honor. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is to come to the head of the corner, verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. To them which stumble at the word being disobedient, whereunto they are appointed. A stone of stumbling. The Bible says that when a wicked man stumbles, he doesn't know what he stumbles over. There are people that are walking around in self-destructive cycles and cannot get out of them. And the number one thing that's keeping them in it is they don't see how to get out of it. And the only way to see how to get out of it is develop some honor in your life. Dishonor and unbelief are going to keep you in the mess. But if you will humble yourself and start esteeming God's word more than how you emotionally feel. If you want to be healed, the number one thing you have to do to get your healing, according to Isaiah 53, it says that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. It talks about all of the promise. But two verses above it, it says in verse 1, who has believed our report? And in verse 2 and 3, it says, we esteemed him not. If you are going to get healed, you're going to have to esteem what Jesus has done and esteem the promise of healing above everything else in your life. You're going to have to look away from every other option and look and esteem the word and say, I don't care what it says. I don't care how bad I hurt. I don't care what it looks like. By his stripes, I was healed. And that is honoring the blood and honoring what he did and honoring his resurrection and honoring that Satan is defeated. Jesus is Lord, and I'm going to see to it, the lordship of Jesus comes in this body. More people stay sick because of a lack of honor than anything else, because they don't know how to esteem the word first place. If they did, they just put the word first. Now you turn away from everything else, which means it's one of the reasons fasting can be and should be honorable. Because what you're saying, you know, there's some scriptures in Jeremiah, Job has it too, I desire your word more than the necessary food for my lips. The reason fasting is such a powerful, worshipful thing, it's because it is part of the system of honor. You're saying your word's more important to me than food. Food feeds my natural body, but your word feeds my spirit. Oh, I love your word. I love your word more than I love that pie, those quesadillas. I love you, Jesus. I'm hungry for miracles. See, it's all part of the honor system. So, just understand this. After Jesus has delivered you and done everything he's done for you, a cast down countenance is dishonorable. Dragging around in the house of the Lord is dishonorable. Everybody's going to have challenges. Every human being is going to have an opportunity to be upset or offended or angry or jealous. But it's a dishonor to let that stay. It's a dishonor to bring that in the house of God and to the altar of Almighty God who raised from the dead for you. Ha ha. So if you have to, you look in the mirror and say, ha 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 ha, woo, today's going to be one great day of joy.
Glory.
And you don't stay in that place because you honor God. Who gave you breath and life and sight and a hope and a job and the day to live. We honor him. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Would you stand on your feet? Father, we thank you today. Father, we thank you today. I believe, Father, what you've started doing throughout everything we're doing. It's one piece to another piece and one step to another step. But Lord, I believe that we've stepped in honor toward an atmosphere which is going to be conducive to a miraculous flow which will not cease. We have created a sanctuary, a place that we believe and pray you will find honorable and a place where you can habitate. Father, we thank you people won't walk on these grounds and leave the same. And we bless you today for these honorable disciples, that they love you and they make decisions to put your word first place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.